Please, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's all right. There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Grab that red hardbound book and turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 5. As we come, we're coming up on Easter here, one of the most significant times, in my opinion, of the Christian life. Because I love I love Christmas. I have great memories of Christmas, but it's Easter. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves us, guarantees that we will rise as well. His resurrection satisfied. It's proof that it satisfied the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. It satisfied our sin debt. But it's also a promissory note on the fact that you and I will one day rise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as well as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, the coming of the Lord, we'll rise and be changed. Anyway, it's 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. That's exciting. That's what I love about it. But there are some very significant events that happened just leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. Now, I know, how many of you got your summer planned already? You already got your summer planned? Anybody know what you're going to do this summer? Praise God, we got a planner up here. Got a planner over there. Amen, amen. But, you know, the truth is there's certain things on our calendar every year. We're like national holidays, right? We've got Memorial Day coming up. We've got July 4th coming up. Praise the Lord. Labor Day, we get to sleep in that day. Love that idea. And then, of course, we've got other days that are more somber, like 9/11, which we'll never forget. Because, like, we used to have Armistice Day when I was a kid. Anybody remember Armistice Day? Charles, you remember Armistice Day? It's November 11th when they signed the... Miss Debbie remembers. That's World War II. That was the beginning of the end of World War II when they started to sign the peace, the ceasefire there in Europe. And we used to celebrate that. And I remember going out and decorating the graves of my family on Memorial Day, and there were national observances. Well, at the time that we're coming into right now, Jesus is about to commemorate a national observance of Israel referred to as the Passover. Now, if you remember, Independence Day for us was July 4th. We looked to that as the day we declared our independence from Great Britain. The Passover was the day that Israel was led out of bondage. And if you'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, just as we studied last week, the Lord's Supper is the fulfillment, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover. The Lord's Jesus Christ is that fulfillment. And we see that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Now look at that next phrase. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now we talked about this, that the Passover was the time when they were in bondage, and God used this at the 10th and final plague. Now, a lot of people believe that the Old Testament has nothing to do with us today, and that is unfortunate because that is not true. The majority of the Old Testament writers didn't know the significance of what they were writing. They didn't understand that it pictured Christ. Friends, how many of you remember that? How many of you ever seen the emblem of the American Medical Association? It's a cross with a snake on it. That stems back to the time when they left it. When Israel left Egypt, they kind of got cold to the fact that God had done blessings in their life, and they were murmuring and complaining, and God sent these fiery red serpents into the camp to bite people. And when they would get bitten, they would die. And as people were dying, the people cried out and repented. So God said, you take a piece of brass, you beat it into the form of a snake, and you hold it up on a cross. And anyone who gets bitten will look to that snake, will look to that cross, and they will be saved. That was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that because in John chapter 4, Jesus said John chapter 3, then verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Old Testament writers did not understand the New Testament significance of what they were experiencing. But now, some 2,000, 3,000 years later, we look backwards in time through the lens of Jesus Christ, and we can now see the significance of those events. Remember when they left Egypt and they wanted water? They started complaining. So God told Moses to go out to that flint rock and smack it with his walking stick. And he smacked it and out poured water right out of the face of it. right? They would break camp the next morning, and there'd be a pillar of cloud, and that cloud and smoke would come up and cover them and give them a shadow from the sun. And they would march behind it. And at night, when the temperature would drop, it would turn to a pillar of fire. And they would have the heat to keep them warm. And then they would set up camp. And they'd go to bed. And they'd get up the next morning. And guess what? That rock was right there. Because that rock was a picture of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ." That's why when Moses smacked it a second time, he did not get to go into the promised land. Because Jesus will only be smitten once. He told Moses, you go out there and you speak to the rock, and the rock will give you water. See, the Old Testament writers did not understand the significance, but you and I do, because now we see it from the picture position of Christ. See, Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Passover lamb. Remember the story we talked about last week? They had all the plagues. They had the flies and the frogs and the water turned to blood. And they had boils on man and beast. And hail fell from the sky. Ice chunks fell from the sky and hit the ground and caught fire. And then there was darkness for 3 days. And it was a darkness that was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face and you could feel it. And everybody just laid wherever they were because they couldn't walk to wherever they needed to be. It was so dark. But that did not break the slavery chokehold on Israel from Egypt. So God said, I'm going to send one more. I'm going to pass through the land. And when the death angel comes through the land, I will slay the firstborn of every house. From the slave that's in the dungeon all the way to Pharaoh's house himself, I will slay the firstborn. And he said to them, now you boys, you listen, everybody take a lamb. Remember that? We talked about it last week. And they were to choose out the best lamb they had because it would picture the best that God would give his son Jesus. It had to be spotless. It had to be perfect. It had to be a lamb of the first year. And they were to scrutinize that lamb. That's why so much of the New Testament is written about the last few days or week of Jesus' life, because that is when he's being scrutinized by the rabbis. And so then they would slice the throat of that lamb and catch the blood, and they would take the old weed of hyssop and they would sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, making that sign of the cross. And he said, when I pass through the land, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. And everyone who was covered by the blood, everyone who was in the house under the blood, was spared death and destruction. Now, that Passover lamb did not save them from their sins. It only pictured the one that would come and save them from their sins. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, meaning the Old Testament writings, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of the thing, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, make the comers thereunto perfect. Do you understand? They would offer the same sacrifices over and over again, out of obedience, but each time they were supposed to be remembering the one that would come. Amen. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus and pointed to him and said, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was changing their paradigm from an animal sacrifice to a person. Amen. So the Old Testament picture of the Passover lamb was Jesus. Now, look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We read verse 7. Now, verse 8, Paul is identifying the feast, not as the Passover feast, because ever since the night Jesus was Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the Church of Jesus Christ no longer observed the Passover. And you're like, well, wait a minute, preacher. Some of the apostles did. Yeah, but the apostles were Jewish, and they were commanded to do that. Do you realize that we're not Israel?
Amen.
Do you understand? You're born again, praise God. But you're not Israel. Just like Britain does not celebrate the 4th of July, neither do Christians celebrate the Passover, because we were never in bondage to Egypt. Do you understand? You know, a lot of our national holidays we have in America are not celebrated by the rest of the world. Why? Because they're national. They're not Christian or non-Christian. They're just national. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast. This is speaking of the Lord's table. Not with the old leaven. Now, leaven is yeast. In the Bible, as I told you, that there were many times God would use an earthly picture of something to explain a heavenly principle. The rock that followed them was a picture of Jesus. The Passover lamb was a picture of Jesus. The way they made the tabernacle and the temple was a picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. The veil was a picture of Jesus because you pass through the veil to get to the holiest of holies. And all kinds of things like that in the Old Testament. But here what we find is he's saying leaven, that we're not to keep the feast with old leaven. Leaven is yeast. At the time of the Passover, God said, you're going to take all of the yeast out of your house. Why? Because yeast, which makes bread rise, is a picture of sin. You get a little sin in your life, it permeates your whole life. You cannot play with sin and win. You cannot violate Scripture and succeed. God won't allow it. So God says, at the time of the Passover, you're to take all the yeast, all the leaven out of your house, all that which pictures sin. So now look at it. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now there's several things to note between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. As I said before, that the Old Testament Passover would picture Jesus Christ. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This Passover freed them from the bondage of slavery. Our Passover, Jesus Christ, freed us from the bondage of sin. That he was our escape. He is the one who took eternal judgment upon himself. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He became sin who knew no sin. We sang that today, right? Because that's straight out of the Scripture. He became sin who knew no sin. Why? So we might become the righteousness of God. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. Listen to what the Bible says. If you're taking notes, it's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. Listen to what the Bible reads. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 18 of that same scripture says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, you're not born again with corruptible things as silver and gold. You can't buy your salvation. Or he says, from your vain conversation received by tradition. Just because somebody taught it to you, don't make it so. But with the precious blood of Christ. You and I are saved by the blood of Christ. So the Old Testament Passover delivered them from the bondage of slavery. The New Testament, our Passover, Jesus Christ, delivered us from the bondage of sin. And they were to look back and remember that happening, just like we take the Lord's table and we look forward, look back at our salvation and look forward to his coming. Now, as I said, the Church of Jesus Christ has never celebrated the Passover. Since then, they celebrate the Feast of the Lord's Supper. Now, it's supposed to be a memorial feast. It is a backwards look. That's what the Passover was. That's what the Lord's Supper is. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 26. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper at the beginning of that Passover week. Now, look at it. Matthew 26 and verse number 26. Look at it. Matthew 26 and verse 26. Follow along with me, please. And as they were eating, what were they eating? They were eating the Passover meal. Just Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. He instituted the night they were gathering for the Lord's Supper. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 15. Don't take my word for it. Read it straight out of the Scriptures. Learn what it says and believe it because that's what it says. Look at Luke chapter number 22. Luke 22 and verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire, I have the desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Do you see that? They were eating the Passover. Verse number 19, it was to be done in remembrance of what he was about to do. Verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them saying, this is my body which was given to you. This do in remembrance of me. I know that Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of the Passover. He made one offering And he sat down because the job was done. The Bible says in Hebrews that this one man made one offering for sin forever and sat down at the right hand of God the Father on high. Why is that? Because when the Old Testament priest gathered the blood on the Day of Atonement and he went through the veil into the holiest of holies, he wore a garment that had bells sewn into the bottom of his garment. And he had a rope tied to his leg. Because when he went into the holiest of holies, he was in the very presence of Almighty God himself. The Shekinah glory of God rested on the mercy seat where you saw on the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the top of the Ark of the Covenant had the cherubims with their wings spread out like this. And he would go in there and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. But if he ever stopped moving, it's because he violated that picture. If he would have sat down in there, it would have violated the picture of Christ's one redeeming act, and they would have had to drag him out by the rope tied by his foot. God takes this stuff real seriously. I dare say we as Christians don't. Amen. But God takes it super seriously, and he meant it to be done a specific way. Now, take your Bible, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the book of 1 Corinthians is a book of rebuke. Man, they weren't doing anything right. I mean, from the moment he said, grace, peace, I love you, till y'all farewell, everything in the middle was, you're not doing it right. And every day, every chapter, he was rebuking the church at Corinth for messing things up. Look at chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For I don't care what you called it, but what you're doing can't be classified as the Lord's Supper. Why? Look at verse 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I do? Say to you, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. You understand? He's rebuking them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he rebukes them for carnality, incest, and fornication. In chapters 12, 13, and 15, he is rebuking them for the misapplication of the work of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 15, they're not teaching the resurrection, and he rebukes them. But here in chapter 11, they are making such a mess out of the Lord's Supper. He said, you can't even classify. Well, my heart's right. I mean, I'm sincere. Hey, y'all, just because you change the hood ornament on your Nissan, don't make it a Cadillac. Right? You can put lipstick on a pig and call it beautiful, but that don't change it. Just because you call it something don't mean it is something. Amen. You understand? God is very specific about these things. Well, as long as my heart's right, no, ain't got nothing to do with your heart. Look, God was very specific about the Passover. Did you know that? We're going to look at this in detail next week. But they were to do it every year. Exodus 13:10. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. It was to be done on a specific day. Exodus 12:18. At the first month, on the 14th day of the month. And it was to be done at a very specific time of day. There in verse 18, it says, at even. Twice in the same verse, he says it's to be done in the evening. Isn't that interesting? Now, God had specific instructions for how Noah was going to build the ark. God made specific instructions on how Abraham was going to take care of the law and how to build the temple or tabernacle and what clothes they were to wear and all the different processes. He had very detailed information on how that was supposed to happen. Why do we as modern day Christians think that God somehow is just going to let us ignore what he gave us and do it our own way? You're in 1 Corinthians. I want to turn your attention to chapter 11, verse 2. Well, let's look at verse 1 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Boy, you better know your stuff's right if you're telling people to follow you, right? Amen. Right? How many of you want to stand up and be the example? Huh? Right? Nobody? Nobody. Why? Because listen, if you hang out with me for 24 hours, I'm going to let you down. Amen. Right? So Paul's like, listen now, follow me as I follow Christ. Verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. And now look at that next phrase. And keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. There's only two ordinances in the church. That's baptism and Lord's Supper. They're both based on the way you view the church. What's your definition of the church is? But Paul said they are not subject to modification. Amen. You don't, well, my heart's right. I'm sincere. Listen, God killed people for less. Amen. He said, do it the way I showed you. Why? Because you as yet either are not recognizing the significance of the symbol or the thing it's pointing to, but you will one day. See, the guys in the Old Testament, a lot of times what they wrote down, they didn't understand. They didn't understand the significance. But now, 2,000 years later, we look back in time and go, oh, I see Christ in that. See, the Passover was a memorial, and so was the Lord's Supper. So in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, I read that to you. This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. When we partake of the Lord's table, we're supposed to be remembering Jesus, thinking of Jesus. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we're not to partake lightly or haphazardly. We're not to just come in and it be like anything else. No, no, no. Our mind is supposed to remember. Well, remember what? Remember the price of our deliverance. We are to remember the blood that was shed on the cross. When you come in to take the Lord's table in a few weeks, we're going to be thinking about the blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I read it to you earlier. He said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversations, received a tradition of men like silver and gold, but you were by the precious blood of Christ. You are to remember that it was His blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When the blood is applied to your life, that is when you're saved. When was the blood of Jesus Christ applied to you? When did that happen? Where were you when it happened? The Bible says that when we believe on Jesus Christ, when we put our faith and trust in Him, that we are born again. We're to remember the price of our deliverance. We are also to remember the method of our deliverance. Do you remember how Jesus suffered? You know, they covered His face and they beat Him until He was unrecognizable. They ripped the beard from His face. They spit in His face and mocked Him. They beat Him with a cat of nine tails. Every strap had a hook or a piece of glass or a lead weight. And they gave Him 39 lashes with that cat of nine tails. He's bleeding all over the ground. They cover Him with a cloak. And then they beat the crown of thorns into His brow with a reed and they mock Him. Then they tear all that off and they make Him carry His cross up the way of suffering. And then they laid Him on it and they nailed Him to it. And as they hung the cross, He hung up there. Heaven could not receive Him because He was sin for us. And hell and earth did not want Him. And He hung there, a man of sorrows, despised and rejected. That's the method. How many times do you take the Lord's Supper and not one time has your thoughts ever gone back to Calvary? Oh, it's just something we do. I've had people say, well, I just don't feel like I've worshiped unless I've had the Lord's Supper. The reason we don't do it very often is because invariably folks will come and they're not ready. They've not had time to think. They've not had time to pray. They've not had time to consider anything. And God says it comes a curse to them when they do it improperly. But you know, we're not only supposed to remember the price of our deliverance, which was His blood, we're to remember the method of our deliverance, which was His suffering on the cross. We're also to remember His victory and resurrection and the fact that He's coming. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 calls it our blessed hope when Jesus is coming again. I tried to quote it to you earlier in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Has your mind ever thought of that when you took the Lord's Supper? And you say, well, I didn't know. That's okay. God winked at that, but now you do. It is the most precious observance all year because the Passover was a time of cleansing. Remember I told you in Exodus 12 they were to take the leaven or they were to examine their household and take the leaven out. They were to take that which symbolizes sin out of their life. You know, we're supposed to do the exact same thing. Because as they left the promised land, there are several instances where they kind of cooled off. They were excited. I mean, let's face it. When they woke up the next morning after the death angel came, they'd been borrowing gold and jewels and silver. And man, they got on their feet and went, let's go to the promised land. They're excited. And they were singing hallelujah. And they crossed the Red Sea. And then after a while, they got tired. They got complacent. They murmured. God sent in the fiery servants. Then after a while, they murmured and complained again. Korah and Dathan tried to run a coup on Moses and knock Moses out of the leadership. And God opened up the ground and swallowed them whole. Do you understand this? Sometimes you and I, you know, that's why we shower every day. And I sure hope you shower every day. The person sitting next to you would wish you would shower every day. Because when you leave your house, you get contaminated by the world. You go out there and you come home a little smelly, a little dirty from the world, and we all kind of appreciate if you showered. Can I get an amen from the ladies in the room? Amen. Okay. So it's the same thing. When we come to the Lord's table, we've cooled off since the last time we took the Lord's Supper. We've not examined ourselves. We're not right with God. We're not clean. We've let things creep into our lives. The Lord's Supper is a time of cleansing. Remember our text verse there in 1 Corinthians 5. Look what it says. Let me read it, and you just follow along. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. He's using that bread illustration, as ye are unleavened, because you're saved now. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, maybe he's talking to these folks in Corinth, and they've slipped back into carnality after their salvation. We all do it. Listen, we get saved, and it's like, woo, we have a glory fit, man. Everything's excited, and everything's fresh and new, and now pastor's actually interesting, and you read the Bible, and it makes sense, and you're excited. But after a while, you kind of calm down. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, speaking of the Lord's Supper, not with old leaven, not with that old sin we used to live in, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness. You know, we as Christians sometimes, we're like porcupines. We try to snuggle up on a cold night, and we end up hurting each other the closer we get to each other. We forget that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to forgive. Malice is the desire to see somebody else hurt because they hurt you. And we're not to be that way. So when the Lord's Supper comes, we're to be unleavened with the bread of sincerity and truth. We're to cleanse ourselves. Let me ask a question today. Are you clean? Now, only you know. I don't know. I can't tell. Are you clean spiritually? You're saved. You're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. But you've let some of that old wickedness come back. You've let that old anger and bitterness and malice and wrath and the old habits sneak back in your life. Are you clean? I mean clean. I'm not talking about cleaner. Well, I'm better than I was last year. Praise God. But are you clean? You know, there's a difference between my version of clean, my wife's version of clean, and my son's version of clean. You know what I'm talking about? Because to them, it's just kick it all in a pile. It's clean. I took the dishes out. It's clean. My version of clean is put all the dirty clothes away. Take the dishes out, dump the garbage, and put everything in the dirty clothes. That's clean. My wife's version of clean is do all that plus vacuum the floor and dust everything off. And how about a little sanitizing Pine Sol and some other things? That's clean. Are you clean today? God's version of clean. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Before you take the Lord's Supper, brothers and sisters, you need to sit down and look God in the eye. Grab your Bible and look God in the eye. And pray and say, God, search me. Is there anything in my heart that has gotten between you and I? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You say, well, preacher, you're judging. No, I'm not, actually. In 1 Corinthians 5, it says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, and then in verse 10, he's like, I know that you would have to actually leave the world and go to heaven to get rid of them all. But verse 11, he says, but now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. That's a born-again Christian. Be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such as one know not to eat. You need to be clean when you come to the table. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. How do I get clean, preacher? How do I do this, preacher? How can I do this? You need to take the witness stand against your own soul and testify of your wickedness to the Lord. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But how do I not do that? Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If we'll judge ourselves, if we'll go to the Lord and say, God, is there anything between you and I? Here's what I know of, God. I know that sin, and I'm sorry. I know that sin, and I'm sorry about that. And by faith, I'm going to forgive that person, God, knowing that it's not about my feelings, God, but by faith, I forgive them. And God, I'm asking for you to please, is there anything else, God, that, and then you shut up and listen. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Verse 30, for this cause, because people won't come clean before they come. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Jesus referred to Lazarus when he died as sleeping. This means that in Corinth, they had people who were weak and sick, and some had died for making a mockery of the Lord's table. For if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, when we judge ourselves like that, we are chastened of the Lord. That conviction we feel in our heart that we should not be condemned with the world. And he goes on to talk some more about it. Do you understand that when we take the Lord's table, we are looking backwards in time, 2,000 years, to the price of our deliverance, which was blood, to the method of our deliverance, which was his suffering, and to the victory of his deliverance, of our deliverance, which was the resurrection. Then we look today and we examine ourselves. It's a today look also. And we confess our sins, and we are clean before the Lord. And then it is a future look as we look to the Lord's return. That's what the Lord's table is. Listen, all of this starts by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When was the blood applied to you? From the Father's point of view, it happened before the foundation of the world. From the Son's point of view, it was 33 AD when he hung on the cross. But when did it happen to you? For me, it was October 9th, 1990. I had been presented with the Romans Road gospel that I was a sinner, that God loved me anyway, and that he sent his son to die on the cross, that my sin had the punishment of death in hell for eternity, but God is offering me everlasting life. And that if I would believe, if I would repent and believe, that means to turn from God, from sin to God and admit it. God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I know you died for me. Please forgive me. I believe Jesus died and rose again to save me. I believe. That's when it happened. October 9th, 1990, at 9 o'clock in our apartment in Lakin, Illinois. Where were you when you got saved? Where was the blood applied? Where were you? When did it happen? Listen, you may not remember the day or the hour, but do you remember, even as a child, if it happened as a child, do you remember when you bowed your head and prayed? I'm not talking about, forget about this sincerity foolishness. Just, did you? Do you believe? And, you know, salvation isn't just a backward look to a crisis situation. It is an ever-present reality right now that I am believing now. I am still believing on Jesus Christ today. Not because I think I'll lose my salvation, but because I believe. Are you doing that? Have you put your faith and trust? If you'd like today to be your spiritual rebirth day, in a minute I'm going to give you an opportunity. You're saved? Have you been baptized? The first act of obedience is to be baptized after you're saved. The Ethiopian eunuch was not allowed to be baptized until he confessed Christ. The Philippian jailer did not get baptized until his entire house confessed Christ. The folks on Pentecost received the word first. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Amen. Have you been baptized scripturally by immersion? Have you? When did? If not, then we need to take care of that. Are you a member of the church? If you join the church, I'm going to talk about that next week, that it was a lamb for a house. Come back next week. But right now, if we were taking it right now, Would you be ready? Would you be ready? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The Bible says that we're to lay aside the weights and the sins. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. Our Father and our God, if there's one here that is not sure their heaven's their home, they're not sure and it's bugging them, I pray, God, please give them the courage to step out and come to this front altar and pray and ask you to forgive them because they believe. And Father, for us, your children, right now, in the next few minutes, I ask God that you would speak to every heart and every soul. Oh, Holy Spirit, search us. Show us. Show us. Try us, God. Show us where we are not right with thee. God, please let us. Show us that we might come clean. Speak, O Holy Spirit. Now, as you've spoken to each heart and each soul, God, convict us that we might be clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Step out right now. Step out from the aisle. Come on front. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you clean? Are you ready? What if today you met God face to face? Is there anything that needs to be dealt with? Just come. You don't have the ability to carry it. Stop carrying it. Give it to Jesus right now. Give it to him and say, I'm yours. I'm yours. You can have this. Come clean, brothers and sisters. Come clean.
To him I owe.
Come.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
So is that all the sinners we have in this room? Is that it? I mean, is everybody else just pure? Brothers and sisters, don't let your pride get in the way of being right with your Savior. Don't let your pride do that. Keep short accounts with God. Talk to your Savior. He loves you. He already knows. Won't you just agree with him?
All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
To say, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I believe you died for me. Thank you for saving me. I love you. And that's it. It's about believing on Jesus. That's it. Christian, if you confess your sin to God, he'll forgive you and he'll wipe you clean like it never happened before.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
How about you? Are you clean? Not just cleaner, are you clean? Nothing between you and the Savior, nothing. Because you've talked to the Lord, the Lord's talked to you, and you're clean. Our Father and our God, we love you. God, we love you. You know us. You know us and still love us. And God, today we praise you. Praise you for the way you love us and the way that you forgive us and the way that you continue to glorify yourself in us, because we are not worthy. But God, you make us worthy by the blood of Christ. You call us son and daughter. You call us to be King of Kings. You are the King of Kings. Now, Father, bless each person here today. And as we come before you, as we study this week, as we prepare our hearts this week, God, we desire to be close to you like never before. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Do you know that chorus? Let's sing it again.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
Let that be your praise this week. Now, a couple things before Brother Edward comes.